Hey, welcome to the Intentional Living Center. We're going to open the door for grandparents today. Grandmas and grandpas and nannies and papas and, you know, come on in. This is going to be a great, great half hour. If you're a grandfather or grandmother, or you hope to be someday, you're going to enjoy it today. I'm Randy Carlson, and today I'm just going to be a grandparent. I'm just going to join in as a grandparent myself, and God love it. You know, this thing of parenting, my wife Donna and I, we have three children, and so far along the way, we are just absolutely thrilled and blessed to have five living grandchildren, and one soon to be joining us here in just, less than 2 months now. We're excited about that. Little Zoe will be joining us. And, you know, it's a great thing. You know, I think about grandparenting, the questions that we're getting on Facebook, and you all are asking questions about grandparenting. Renee wants to know, how does one adjust to be from parenting to grandparenting? And Dawn wants to know, what does a successful grandparent look like? And I was thinking about that coming into the studio today from my own personal experience. And I think some of the things we got to look at in this thing of grandparenting is the fact that as a grandparent, you're in a supportive role versus a controlling role. Does that make sense? You're in a supportive role, meaning helping your kids do a good job in raising those grandkids, but you're not in the position of control. You're not the parent. That's not your title. You're a grandparent. Now, I know some grandparents, God love you, you've been put into that situation where you are responsible, and that's a little different topic. But today, we're talking about grandparents, where what's our role with our kids and our grandkids. I think a second thing to answer your question, Dawn, about how do I become a good grandparent, what does it look like, is you move from a role of responsibility to assistance, which is sort of like support. I think the other thing is time. Grandparents, we have time versus hurry. Come on, if you're a parent, you're just swamped. You got kids, you got work, you got them to church, you got to get them to school, you got to finish homework. And grandparents, we have time. We have more time. And that's a very beautiful gift to give to our grandchildren. I think another thing is patience. As a grandparent, we can bring patience to the whole relationship. Where parenting, I don't care how great a parent you are, there's going to be a lot of impatience because you just want them to hurry up and grow up and all of that. And what we see as grandparents, sometimes not seeing our grandchildren for a week or two, or some of you maybe not for several months, you see the changes as they develop, you see. And as a parent, you're so close to it every day, it can be sort of overwhelming to you. And so today, how do you become a grandparent that's intentional? I think that's a great question. Maybe you have a comment on this for our comment storyline, or join the Facebook discussion at Facebook.com/intentionalliving, or call 888-888-1717.
Yes, I would like to ask Randy Carlson what the role of grandparents is, what to define grandparenting. We're having some difficulty with our young adult children, and any input we might share with them regarding our grandchildren or just life issues. They seem to feel like they don't need any input. It's creating a lot of stress in our family because we're concerned about some things and would feel comfortable if they would listen at least to what our viewpoints are. So I'd appreciate any help you can give with that. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a good question, and good luck to you, because if you've got kids who frankly don't want to listen, they just don't want to listen, and that's a problem. And it may be that they perceive that you've been pushy and bossy and they're trying to do it on their own. I would encourage all grandparents to do a couple of things. One is with your kids, first of all, when you catch them doing things that you think, hey, that's a good job, just really speak into their lives. As human beings, when someone encourages us that we're doing at least something right, we're going to be better prepared to take the suggestions when we're doing something that might be improved. Isn't that what happens in the workplace? Isn't that what happens in a marriage? Isn't that what happens in all relationships, including parents and children and grandparents and their children as well? Secondly, I really recommend when you see something that you're concerned about, don't just offer your opinion on it, but stop and always say, you know, can I share something with you? In other words, you're asking for permission. There's something powerful about asking your kids, can you have permission to say something? But you better be prepared, because if they say no, then you need to shut up and back off. On the other hand, if they say sure, then just very gently Don't talk about you or you should do this or that. Just say, hey, you know, from my experience, this is something may help, may not help. I'm just going to throw it out just for your benefit. I love you and want the best for you. Take it or leave it, but here it is. And I think that's the best approach. Now, let me just put a caveat in here that if there's a situation where a child's life or health or there's something that's going to be endangered with your grandchildren, then obviously you got to take it to another level. Hey, listen, we got some callers standing by. We got a great program ahead. In fact, our friend Larry Fowler, who's the executive director of the global network of Awana, he's a grandpa now. And you don't know what Awana is. That's a children's program for churches. He's going to be joining me in just a couple minutes because Larry and his wife, they were so radical about being good grandparents that they even packed up and moved to another part of the country to be closer. And I think that's pretty cool. You come join us. What's your thought on all of this as a grandparent? What have you learned? You can leave it that on our storyline when you give us a call at 888-888-1717. Again, that's 888-888-1717.
Hi, I'm Lori Allen, and when I think of the traits passed down by both of my grandmothers, I missed a few good skills, like being able to knit, sew, and cook. But I did inherit intangible talents, such as remembering to count my blessings, tackling hard projects, and leaning on the Lord in times of trial. One of my grandmothers was a school teacher, a reader, and a lover of nature. She taught me to recognize types of birds, flowers, and trees. But most importantly, she always took me to church when I visited her. And when I think of the legacy of faith she left, I feel so fortunate. Some might say they have real characters in their family, instead of saying their family has real character. Having positive traits that you can trace back is nice. But what if you have generations of addiction, abuse, or unfaithfulness? Don't let negative characteristics defeat you, and don't let them give you an excuse to do less than your best. You have the power of the Holy Spirit within you, and you can break destructive cycles. One of my grandmothers was married four times. My dad decided no matter what, he would stay married to the same woman. This year, he and Mom will be married 56 years. I hope I inherited his persistence and loyalty, but I'd still like to be a better cook. For Intentional Living, I'm Lori Allen.
Indeed. Thank you, Lori, and I appreciate that. You know, you think about the influence of grandparents. Some of us had the opportunity to be influenced by grandparents, some not. In my case, I had one grandparent that I ever met. The others were already in heaven, my Grandma Carlson. And for the brief time that she was with us before she passed when I was a young boy, she certainly impacted my life and makes a difference. Hey, I mentioned that Larry Fowler is going to be joining us. Larry is the executive director of global networking at Awana. It's a ministry that has helped educate and discipline kids and families for several decades now, and he's been with Awana for over 30 years. So I know, Larry, you're obviously passionate about reaching kids for Christ. But first of all, thanks for stopping by, Larry. But also, I understand you have a real passion. Take a minute and talk about that passion.
I'm real passionate about this grandparenting thing. And in fact, my wife and I had a switch in our responsibilities at Awana on purpose because we weren't living close to grandkids. And I got so convicted of all the passages in Scripture that talk about multiple generations. And there are just several times in Scripture that three generations are mentioned. For example, why is God the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? I mean, why do you need to say all three, you know, grandfather, father, and son? I don't know the answer to that, but I do know that there are a lot of passages where it says, you know, teach your children and your children's children. And so we felt like to really be obedient to Scripture, we had to be in a position where we could influence our grandkids. And for us, that meant a physical move where we had to sell our home and move in order to be close to them and the stage of life that we're in so that we could be really intentional grandparents. That, I think, is something that people of my generation need to think about. To be real frank, a lot of the commercials on TV that talk about the retirement villages are very deceptive. Life is not near so wonderful in those retirement villages as people would want to believe. And one of the best things that you can do in our older stages of life, of course, would be a positive spiritual influence on grandkids.
Absolutely. That's really good, Larry. I like how you reference the fact that even in the Old Testament, there's a reference generationally. I mean, the Bible is filled with generations, and Well, you read some of the legacy that's in Scripture and the lineage, you realize that it matters. And one of the things I think about grandparenting myself is that sense of continuity and legacy that we can pass on to our kids. And I applaud that you and your wife took the lead to go do that with your kids. And I think that's a very valuable thing to do. We're talking grandparenting today, and I've got Larry Fowler here, who's the Executive Director of Global Network for Awana. And Larry, you mentioned about being intentional as grandparents. So tell us, you know, what else do you do as a grandparent to be intentional?
You know, being an intentional grandparent really has challenges when they're not with you physically. You know, when they don't live right close by you, it's hard. And so I guess every grandparent has to figure out what works for them. But what works for us is we have to do our very, very best to enter their world. You can't expect grandkids to enter grandparent world. Grandparents have to enter grandkid world. And for us, that of course means texting. Well, of course we text too, but we know our grandkids really text. So my wife, being grandma, texts verses on a regular basis to our grandkids. And they don't always respond. In fact, the boys rarely respond. But they're still getting verses from grandma, and they love it. You know, they may not send a text back and say, thanks, grandma, but they love it. And so on a regular basis, she texts verses to them. And because I'm a writer, I have a different approach, because I'm not disciplined enough to send texts every day. But I write them letters on their birthdays, and especially the 16th birthday. I write my grandson's letters on their as they turn 16, and then I tell them, I want you to read that letter every year for the next 10 years. And I'm especially concerned about the years between 14 and 24 or 16 and 26, because those are the years of decision making. And I want to be a voice in the back of my grandson's head that says, don't you mess up. And don't you make wrong decisions. You live your life according to the way Scripture has to say. And so, you know, there are different ways to be intentional, but every grandparent has to find a way in order to be obedient to Scripture.
In fact, that is true. Thank you, Larry. I appreciate you stopping by from your work with Awana to share your perspective. Hey, Grandpa or Grandma, I like that thought that Larry had, that we be that voice in their ear, you know, maybe the voice to just be there when they're ready to make a decision that frankly isn't quite so healthy for them. What do you think? Weigh in on it at 888-888-1717.
My name is Pat. I'm 67. My daughter was killed 4 years ago. She was in a house fire. I had become involved with the wrong kind of people, drinking and drugs. It took them 3 months to identify her before we was able to have a funeral of any kind. She left me 5 beautiful children. I was married right before it happened, but he couldn't deal with all this, so he left. The children have been a blessing, but at 67, I thought I'd be doing other things in life, like traveling and going out to lunch with friends. And that doesn't happen. I have a 7-year-old, a 10-year-old, full-time, and then the 19-year-old, I had her for 3 years. She's been out on her own now for a year. And then there's 17-year-old twins. It breaks my heart when they look at me and say, Grandma, why weren't we enough? How come Mama cared more about the drugs and the drinking than she did us? What's wrong with us? Has been a tough situation. Thank God we have faith. Without it, there would be no answer.
Lord, bless that dear lady today, this moment in time, with those 5 precious grandchildren, to have wisdom to answer those questions, to love on those grandchildren. I pray that you'll extend her life and her health, that she'll have the years ahead that'll be a blessing, not only to them, but encouragement to her. In Jesus' name. And I think that prayer is for thousands of others. Maybe that's where you are today as well.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Dr. Andy's got more on grandparenting. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Minute, number 10 on the top 10 list of financial freedom. Start paying down the mortgage on that home if you can. Now, that's after you get the consumer debt taken care of and having some emergency money on hand. But if you can, start putting a little bit toward your mortgage. Do you realize if you have a, let's say as an example, a $200,000 mortgage at 5%, and you were to take a 13th month payment, just one extra month a year, and add it in throughout the year, that over a period of 30 years, you will save 4 years of payments, and the math shows about $32,000 savings on the amount of interest that you're going to be paying. When we talk about intentional living, it really comes down to a little bit over an extended period of time, including paying off your mortgage. And when you start that process, that's intentional living.
For more information and inspiration, go to theintentionallife.com.
My husband's grandparents, I've known them since before I was born, but they prayed for the seven generations following them faithfully. It's made a huge impact in our lives.
My grandmother, she is absolutely essential in what took place in my life.
They had a very big influence in my life. They raised me and they took me to church. And if it wasn't for my grandparents, I just don't know where I'd be today.
Boy, we're talking about the value add, as they say in the business world, the value add of grandparenting. It's not to sit on our backsides and just enjoy retirement and, you know, use all the resources we've saved, but to invest in the lives of those precious little ones that God has given us. And maybe they're older now, maybe they're adults, but they're still your grandchildren. You're there for them and loving on them. And boy, what an opportunity. In fact, my wife Don and I are going to spend tonight with a couple of our grandchildren babysitting so mom and dad can get out. Things that we can do to encourage one another. Hey, let's hear some more of the stories from you all about grandparents and what you've learned about grandparenting. Let's go to Danielle in Glendale. Hi there, Danielle.
Hi, Dr. Randy.
How are you today?
I am wonderful. Perfect. And very, very blessed. My okay. grandfather, and I was chuckling at how you described your grandparents, and it just got me thinking that they're so special. But he was born in 1916. Mm-hmm. He still lives with me and my mother, moved in with us a few years back to be with his newest great-granddaughter, and he's watched her grow, and that's the light of his life. But he was in World War II in the Mediterranean. He also played football for Michigan State back when they had, Minnesota State, when they had leather helmets. He also taught me what the meaning of the words plug away.
Oh. So what does that mean to you, plug away? What is it? Kind of think we all intuitively know, but what does that mean to you? What did he teach you about that?
Well, you know, just whenever I get discouraged or tired or I feel that I can't keep going, I just always hear those words, Danielle, just plug away. And then that's just his way. It was his way of being intentional with me to show me that all things can be accomplished. Just don't focus too much on everything. Just plug away on what you've got in front of you.
And you know what? I'll tell you something, Danielle. These moments in time that we learn from our parents and our grandparents and sometimes great-grandparents, just glimpses. And I just want to say to grandparents listening today, as you hear Danielle and we kind of intuitively know we make a difference. Every time I get a chance to speak into the lives of my grandchildren, we have four of them, all from five and down, they're all young. I make every point I possibly can to speak into their lives personally, that they're special, God made them special, that they've got a great future. I can see their little eyes brighten up, especially Kylie, who's our oldest and kind of comprehends this at this stage. We get these moments, grandparents, to build into our lives of these kids and grandkids, and let's do it intentionally. It's important. Hey, Danielle, thank you for your call.
Okay, thank
appreciate
you so
it.
Much.
And God bless you, and enjoy the time with your grandpa there. BJ's in Bath, Michigan. Hi, BJ.
Hi, Randy.
How you doing today?
I'm nervous.
Well, we'll get through it. We'll get to it. What did you learn from your grandparents or grandparents?
Well, my grandparents were, I had nine aunts and uncles on both sides, my mom and my dad. And so I didn't have the one-on-one closeness like grandparents do nowadays. But I can remember my Grandma Weidman would play the piano and she would sing The Old Rugged Cross. Mm-hmm. And I remember that from Grandma Weidman big time up in Ithaca, Michigan. And we would go up there every weekend and stuff for when we were kids. But back in 1987, I was 40 years old. And just over 4 years, I had nine tumors. Eight were malignant. Mm-hmm. And I lost a breast and top lobe of my right lung. And the doctor said I was stage three cancer victim. And I prayed to the Lord and I said, Lord, no, not yet. I want to be a grandma someday. I said, Lord, if you let me live and heal me and let me be a grandma, I promise you every one of those grandkids will know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I'm happy to say May 14th was 22 years remission from cancer.
Good.
And we've got 10 grandkids right now. We've got five boys and five girls. The oldest is an Emily. We've got three Zachs. And the youngest is an Emily. And now, by the grace of God, next month, probably in October, the granddaughter that was born on Christmas 23 years ago is pregnant with twin boys. And I'm going to be blessed doubly with great-grandma twice in one delivery. And I just want to know that I couldn't do it all without my husband, Douglas. He went up, he goes deer hunting every single year, and he's gone up for 35 years with the same group of guys. And he was up there this year for 10 days out of the 2 weeks. They go for a week of bow and a week of gun. And he called me the first couple of days after he'd been up there, telling me how he was getting this funny feeling in his chest and pain down his left arm. But he said, at least it's going down my left arm and not my right arm, right, hon? And I'm going, no, you got that wrong. The left arm is bad. He continued to be stubborn and stomped through the woods deer hunting for 10 days. The Lord healed him, kept him. That's all he did was pray, and his buddies helped him and everything. And he came home, and the day after Thanksgiving, had open-heart surgery. His heart, the three main arteries were 99 and 100% blocked. And he had open-heart surgery, and he's just as strong and all back to normal and good as gold. Hey,
well, listen, BJ.
Everything.
God is not done with you guys yet, obviously, in your grandparenting. And you guys stay at it. Stay faithful. Keep trusting God, and you got good days ahead. Precious story, reminder. Hey, listen, do you ask God to let you live long enough to be the grandparent? Maybe make up for some of the things that we as parents wish we had done differently. Grandparents, we play an important role in our kids' lives.
This is Larry Hookman with today's intentional grandparenting tip. The more difficult situation your grandchild is in, the more important you are in being the grandparent God wants you to be. All grandparents would like their grandchildren's lives to be perfect, but sadly, this is never so. God knows this and has uniquely prepared you for this challenge. Remember, our generational God knew what your nurture, life experiences, and spiritual gifts would be, so he intentionally and purposely created you so that you could be the perfect grandparent. God also knew the needs of your grandchildren and has equipped you to be the godly grandparent he wants you to be, even in the most difficult grandparenting situations. A great example of this is in the book of Ruth. Ruth's mother-in-law Naomi struggled as a mother, but God used her mightily as a grandmother. Three of her secrets: her presence, perseverance, and prayer. Grandparents, never give up. You might be the only person God can use to speak into the life of your precious grandchild. Like Naomi, it may take years to see the results, but maintain an active involvement in their lives, pray without ceasing, and persevere. It can make all the difference. For Intentional Living, this is Larry Hookman.
Hey, Larry. Thank you, man. That's our grandparenting guy, right? Talking grandparenting today. What a gift. What a beautiful thing it is. And I know for some, maybe it's a beautiful thing that isn't quite so beautiful in your life. Maybe there's been an estrangement in a relationship with a son or daughter causing an estrangement with your grandchildren. Maybe there's been illness, or maybe there's been divorce or other kinds of things that have caused a breach in your relationship. I think grandparenting is a very beautiful thing. And I would say to parents today, if your grandparents, if they can speak in a positive way into your children's life, man, build that relationship, encourage that relationship. Your kids will benefit, you'll benefit, and certainly the grandparents will benefit. It's a powerful thing. Talking grandparenting today, I relate. We've got ours, and they're precious. Of course, we all know that with grandparenting, one of the joys is you can give 100% focus for a short period of time and then take a break, which is always a nice thing. All right. Hey, love to hear your comments, by the way, on the things you're hearing today. Just go to theintentionallife.com, or where you can get to our Facebook and post and join in the discussion, or call 888-888-1717. People who are living on purpose in their marriage know how to forgive. Forgiveness has to be a habit to be successful in life. From the very moment of our birth, we need to be forgiven. Even the scripture says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Even from our very first breath, we are in a position of needing forgiveness, right? And there's no way we're going to get through life without people willing to forgive us and also being willing to forgive other people. You know, we begin a new series in this month of February on the topic of the love habits of, you know, couples who are living on purpose. So we're talking about the number one on the list is forgiveness, top 10 list. Members, watch for this. It'll be coming out to you. I recorded it several weeks ago, being packaged and prepared to send to you, to your home. And so members, watch for it. Love habits of couples living on purpose. And again, we always extend our hand of welcome to new members and saying, welcome, come on and join us. We wish we could send the CD for all people, but we can't. So we send it to those who are members, and your monthly support allows us to do this. Can I challenge you for $1 a day, $30 a month? Some have been doing 50 or 60, whatever the amount is. I just want you to know every dollar is going back into helping us reach more people with this message of intentional living. So join today. And we say thanks to those of you who have been doing so. In fact, I just want to say thanks to Lori from Millington, Michigan. Thank you. I want to thank Connie from Rives Junction, Michigan. Here's Kyle and Jenny from Scottsdale, Arizona. These are some folks who have joined us over the last while here. Here's Luann from Peoria, Arizona. Thank you so much. And Deborah from New Mexico, who has also joined us as a monthly member. So come and join us. Just go to theintentionallife.com. We'll see you next time from Intentional Living.